Let us read two passages of Scripture. The first is a well-known passage of Scripture in connection with the passage of time, in particular the turning of the year. The words of Moses in Psalm 90, and then we'll turn to Luke chapter 13, 1 through 10. Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. You carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening of it, it is cut down and withers. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. And all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Let us turn to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. The first 10 verses. Luke 13 at verse 1. There were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking a fruit upon it, and found none. Then he said to the keeper of his vineyard, look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground? But he, that is the keeper of the vineyard, answered and said to him, sir, let it alone, this year also, until I dig around it and fertilize it, and if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that, you can cut it down. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. We'll focus our attention on the phrase in verse 8, this year also. Well, congregation, here we are, January 1, 2013. Why are we still here? You ever asked yourself that question? On New Year's Day? In the past, we have heard various predictions about the end of the world. In fact, I looked up and found out that Wikipedia has even the recorded failed predictions of the end of the year, amounting to more than 180 failed predictions throughout the course of history. But those are the ones that went public enough to be recorded. Imagine how many times people, even Christian people, thought the circumstances in their lives had announced to them, this must be the end. If we think of the amount of wickedness that has gone public in the last year, we marvel that the Lord allows us to experience January 1. Not just the wickedness in the world around us, but isn't it a marvel that we personally are still here if we consider who we are? And you might say, well, you know, the reason that all these predictions have failed, the reason why we are still here, is that the Jehovah's Witnesses, with all their predictions that have changed from time to time, and Harold Camping of Family Radio, with his changed predictions, and even the most recent prediction in connection with the Mayan calendar, is all based upon man's own understanding and fears and misinterpretations. Man doesn't know when the world is going to end. Jesus has told us that of that day and hour knoweth no man, not even the Son of Man, but only the Father who is in heaven. Our times are in His hands. And so that's why we are here, because only God knows when the end of the world will come. But there's more to it. We see that this particular parable of the fig tree that Jesus speaks in connection with these horrendous events that are reported to him, as Luke records it in chapter 13, the slaughter of people in the temple square, and then the Tower of Siloam falling, and Jesus warning them that the most important lesson to take from these calamities is that there is a call to repentance, because unless we repent, whatever the time of our death is going to be, it'll be too sudden if we have not yet repented. And then Jesus tells this parable of the fig tree in the vineyard. We know that in the past the nation of Israel has been compared by God as being His vineyard. We find it in Isaiah 5. This is the account, Isaiah starts that chapter, of the Lord and His vineyard. And so Jesus, knowing that, tells a story here, a parable. We have this account of the owner of the vineyard coming and particularly saying 3 years. I find that interesting because Jesus' ministry was just a bit over 3 years. 3 years I have been looking for fruit from this fig tree. Cut it down. Why would it take up space in my vineyard? I could use it for something else. You can understand that. Sometimes you look over the vineyards in vineland and you see some of the fields are just plowed up. All these vines have been cut down and rooted up. And why would they cover the ground when the farmer can put much more fruitful plants in that space? Good stewardship. And so the owner says, cut it down. All of a sudden, the keeper of the vineyard intercedes for this one fig tree and says, leave it alone. Just let it be one more year. And he offers his own labor. And he says, I'll work on it. I'll dig and I'll fertilize. And then after that, you can cut it down. And the meaning of this is that the Lord is speaking about his covenant vineyard, and in particular Jerusalem, where he has come over these 3 years, and has he received a reception of faith and repentance and holiness? There has been very little of it from the leadership or from the people in Jerusalem. And justice is saying, cut it down. But then there's mercy saying, leave it alone. A little while longer. So let's look at this in connection with our situation and seek to understand the message of the Lord in this phrase. This year also, spared by a gracious intercession. This year also, spared by a gracious intercession. First of all, predicted in the Old Testament times, perfectly fulfilled in Christ's times, and practically applied for our time. First of all, this is predicted in the Old Testament. We find a number of examples in the Old Testament that show that there is an intercession going on. An interceding between God and his just visitation upon the world of unfruitful pagans or even unconverted covenant people. Such examples are foreshadowing types of the mediator's intercession. It's implied in the ministry of Noah. God announces in chapter 9 of Genesis that he is about to destroy. The end of all flesh has come before me. And he is about to destroy the world because of its wickedness. And the growing wickedness is so great that as great as the population is, there is but one household left. Only Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord yet spares them. And he gives the people another opportunity. 120 years while Noah is not only demonstrating the coming judgment with his hammer and his saw and whatever other tools he is making use of, as he's building this huge ark because of the coming flood. He's preaching. According to Peter's letter, he is a preacher of righteousness. Like Jonah, who announced the destruction of Nineveh, he is saying, God is coming to destroy the world because of its wickedness. And the invitation is still open. We find this kind of intercession or holding back of God's judgment in the ministry of Moses as Israel is led out of Egypt. After having been spared and rescued from the bondage of Egypt, led through the wilderness, there are so many times in this wilderness journey that the Lord is revealing his justice. In chapter 32 in particular, the Lord's wrath is hot against his people. And then Moses steps in between, and Moses intercedes and he pleads and even offers himself as an atonement. We read in Exodus 32, verse 32, yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin. And you have that same kind of emotional, incompleted sentence. Here in our particular verse we have, if it bears fruit, you could say dot, dot, dot. It sort of implies, I don't know what to say. But if not, If the Lord will, Moses says, if the Lord will not forgive their sin, then he offers as another solution himself. Blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book. An awesome mediatorial offer on the part of Moses to be cursed himself and damned for eternity, rather than that the Lord would destroy all his covenant people. And this points ahead, doesn't it? We find in Numbers chapter 14 also a representation of this. How long will this people provoke me, the Lord says. And Moses pleads the Lord's honor. And then we read, we notice in Numbers 14, verse 17, and now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken. And then he announces and he pleads what God has said to him. You know, when he was in the cleft of the rock, the Lord had said to Moses as he passed by that the Lord is righteous, but also of great mercy and forgiving and kind. Well, he quotes that. Long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity. And why did the Lord do that? Why did he hold back and yet lead the Israelites through the wilderness and still bring them to the promised land? Was it because of Moses? Well, it appears to be in Psalm 106, verse 23, where it says, therefore he said he would destroy them. Had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach? In the breach. To turn away his wrath. And we know that it's not Moses in himself. What could Moses really offer? It's because the anointing of the Lord was upon Moses and he was there as a type of Christ. When God was revealing his justice and Moses stood in between, according to God's plan that he would, the Lord didn't see just Moses. He saw his coming son, the Lord Jesus, foreshadowed in Moses. And as we go on and we see that this is not only a foreshadowing in the Old Testament, but that in the New Testament, this particular statement, this year also, this intercession of the vine keeper is perfectly fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And that's our second point. And as you open the pages of the New Testament in Matthew 3, you realize that there is voice, the voice of justice and the voice of mercy coming here. On the one hand, we hear the thundering of John the Baptist, and he thunders out to the people, the axe is laid to the root. Well, you know what's going to happen if the axe is laid to the root. And if you're a smart woodsman and smart with an axe, you don't just swing it and whack down. But you first lay the axe down, if a long-handled axe, lay it down exactly where you want to chop, then bring it up so that you end up having that axe hit exactly where you want it. The axe is laid to the root, so the woodsman is the vine dresser or the one who's pruning the vineyard, the one who's going to chop up this fig tree or this vine plant, is ready to swing the axe. That's what John the Baptist is saying. And we read so nicely in the scriptures in Matthew 3, then cometh Jesus. Then comes Jesus. Justice declares what should happen, but Jesus comes in between. And the whole ministry of Jesus comes in between. And as Jesus is laboring and toiling and preaching and doing miracles, there is a season of mercy. But now, The father has been looking down from heaven upon his vineyard, and 3 years later, he sees Jerusalem not embracing his son, not rendering the fruit that they owe him. And the justice in his heart says, it should be cut down. Surely, if there was any time in the course of all of history that the covenant vine should have been chopped down, it was when they spat upon him, and when they mocked him, and when they dragged him to the cross, when they nailed his hands and feet upon the cross and lifted him up there to die. Surely then, all of justice should have cried out from heaven, cut it down, this Jerusalem. Rather, justice came upon him. And the voice that was heard was, Father, forgive them. Hold off the judgment, for they don't know what they're doing. And Jerusalem was given more time. And on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved. What a mercy! All because of this postponement. Why? Because the interceder, the mediator, offered his own work. I will toil. I will labor. I will offer myself. And indeed, he labored in pain and suffering and sweat and tears and blood until he died. And he didn't only have those souls in Jerusalem on his heart when he prayed, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. But he had in his mind yet more. It was not only those in the city of Jerusalem, but unconverted covenant children who were spread among all the cities of the then known world, in the various synagogues where the Apostle Paul was going to preach. Oh, how patient God can be toward his unfruitful covenant plant, his vineyard. Have you ever marveled about that in your own life? How can God be so patient toward me? Especially, brother or sister, if you're in an unconverted state, how can God be so patient with me as to have tolerated my wickedness, my hardness, my rejection of Christ this whole past year, and allowed me to enter this year also? It's because of Jesus. It's because he prays, Father, let that person live a little longer, this year also. Believer, haven't you also marveled when you look back on the past year and you say, yes, I had all my resolutions and I wanted to be so fruitful, but if the Lord will look down, he'd really have to look very closely to find any of the fruit that I wanted to bear for his glory. Why is it? It's because, as the apostle says in Hebrews 7, there is one who continues ever and who has an unchangeable priesthood. He is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession before God. He's interceding in heaven, and he's giving you every new day, every new year. And now as we look at this and we apply it to ourselves in this time, what does it mean that Jesus in heaven is saying, this year also? Well, it's because of him that we may enter this year. It's because he's interceding. It's because he hasn't finished his work yet in the great kingdom of the world, that he still wants to gather some in. He still wants to engraft some dry, dead branches into his living vine, Jesus Christ, and make them fruitful. He still wants to have sinners saved. That's why we're entering this year also, because his intercession is still bearing its effect today. And so let us then also apply this to ourselves, to encourage ourselves to have hope by faith and to do our duty diligently. First of all, we are encouraged by this, to have hope by faith. No, let us not let our hands fall down in despair. Well, I messed up last year, and I might as well not even try this year. No, don't let that happen. Because in heaven there is someone who seems to have great hope for his kingdom, for his world. No, not hope in the labors of men, because man is making a mess of the world. And they can't even solve the economic crisis in the States because of their stubborn partisanship. And they're postponing it as if they can count on the world to last longer. But that's not that important anyway. What's more important is there are some people who are postponing their conversion. How foolish. We have hope, not in the works of man, but we have hope in the work of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is still saying today, leave those people alone. Let them still live for a while, and I will labor upon their souls. It's like what Moses is praying in Psalm 90, O Lord, let thy work appear unto thy servants. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Let the reviving work of the Lord Jesus Christ come down from heaven upon us. That is the source of our hope. His work is not yet done. He's still in heaven. And he still has all power in heaven and on earth to do his great and wonderful and hopeful work. But let us apply this to ourselves, not only in going forth, looking forward in hope to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go forward prayerfully working. Working and praying. Yes, indeed, our hope is in the Lord's work, but that doesn't mean that we don't have any work. We have our duties. And if we have been saved by the grace of God, if this turning of the year again enables us to realize with new and fresh awareness that we have benefited by the saving grace of God, let us resolve to go forward and with more zeal do our duty. Christ's intercession gives us new opportunity. Let us redeem the time of this year in His service. Because the Lord Jesus works by means of our labors. Yes, we, if we are His children, His servants, we are co-laborers with God through Christ. And so let us go forward redeeming the time in His service. Secondly, let us, if it ends up being that we do not simply enjoy life and health in this year, but that it is also interspersed with sickness and weakness and frailty, let us then submit to that. You see, because as the Lord is working in His vineyard, He's not only working in a positive way, there are some painful ways in which He is working. He is going to be digging, and He is going to be going through that fig tree or through His vineyard, and He is pruning, He is clipping where there is to be no expected fruit. In order that there might be more fruit, let us submit to the chastening of the Lord, that we might be more fruitful in His service, not despising the chastening of the Lord, as Hebrews 12 says. Let us go forth also as the word of the gospel is spread, as the word of the gospel is preached here from this pulpit. Let us go forth as He nourishes His plant, as He continues to fertilize His plant, this vineyard in vineland. Let us then submit to His word. Let us hear His word. Let us beware how we hear His word. Let us listen believingly that we may bear more fruit every day. And fourthly, let us thankfully follow Christ's example. If He interceded for the unfruitful fig tree, for the unconverted, if He interceded, we ought also to intercede. We also are called upon to pray for the unconverted. We also are called upon to pray for one another and to join in this intercession with Jesus as He prays, longing for, hoping for more fruit to the glory of God the Father. Let us not misinterpret God's patience, though. As the Lord gives us a new year, and as He brings us through this year, we have a proneness, don't we, to misinterpret His patience, and Peter warns us about that in 1 Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. But let's not misinterpret His long-suffering. His patience will come to an end. After all, the vine dresser said here, the vine keeper says, if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then cut it down. Think of that. Then. When will then be in our life? But while Jesus gives us another day, let us redeem that time for His sake, for the sake of Jesus, who has hope that His labor will not be in vain. Amen. Let us sing together Psalter number 220, and I just want to point out to that the phrase in stanza 4 of this Psalter 220 is a reference to the strengthening of the Son of Man and points to the coming Messiah. And as the Lord Jesus manifests his strength in his work, there will be a reviving of his church. So let's sing then.